Welcome, ladies and gents. This is Henrik. Thank you for tuning in. RedEyes.tv is the website. It's good to have you here, wherever you're tuning in from. Hope you had a good Christmas, by the way, or Yule, wherever you are. And we are, of course, looking forward to the new year. Well, we have Per Öberg and Simon Lindberg with us today on the show from the Nordic Resistance Movement. We have done a show with them before, and they are, of course, on the front lines of opposing the new colonization of our country, Sweden, but they have also, of course, organizations in Norway, Finland, etc. It's going to be great. We're going to talk more about their party program, I guess you can call it, really. So welcome, guys. Thank you to both of you for coming on.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Hope you guys are doing well today. We have a lot to go into, of course. I wanted to actually read the foreword first. Our Path, that's what you guys call it, A New Politics for a New Time, which is, of course, published by the Nordic Resistance Movement to get people just into the mindset a little bit of what it is that we're going to be talking about today. And it's, of course, concerning the party platform, if you will, 9 points, which is very important. So let me just do that, actually, and we can just dive right into this, gentlemen. So Our Path is the party platform of the Nordic Resistance Movement. The Nordic Resistance Movement is a national socialist organization operating throughout the Nordic countries. We are active both within the political system as well as outside the parliamentary order in our efforts to come to power and advance our political ambitions. The difficult problems facing the Nordic regions are in no way unique to our territory. On the contrary, nefarious and powerful forces have spread throughout the world like a cancer, with a common goal and approach. The USA, Great Britain, Canada, and Australia are highly affected. In order to overcome global Zionism and save our planet in the long run, it is not enough for us in the Nordic region to fight this fight alone. This is the reason we have translated this publication into English. Although our organization does not at this time exist outside of the Nordic region, we hope that our party platform will inspire others to advance these sound ideals all across the world. As a European descendant, the reader should, regardless of their current home country, sympathize with the content of this publication as it regards their racial survival as well. This fight should feel relevant and be considered to be in his or her best interest. Although it was the English-speaking world that largely contributed to the eventual downfall of the Third Reich, the Nordic Resistance Movement is well aware that hundreds of thousands of people with the roots outside of the Nordic region have long ago seen through the lies we have been fed regarding Adolf Hitler and his movement. We are also well aware of the power and potential which lies within the English-speaking world. We would do a grievous error if we choose not to spread our ideas to such a multifaceted and varied readership. This publication is a direct translation of the Swedish version and is no way adapted for non-Nordic culture, politics, and geography. Some things may therefore seem strange or irrelevant, but on the whole, the viewpoint is being presented and defined in an easy-to-understand and clear manner, showing what National Socialism in the 21st century actually means. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's the foreword of the publication. Now, of course, without getting into a discussion about historical revisionism for the newcomer, or a long discussion about why you should consider the other side, historically speaking, and, you know, take a hard consideration as to why it is within our system that has declared us Europeans and our culture the enemy, pretty much, that there is a universal dismissal of everything that Germany was interested in during the 1930s and 40s. Without getting into all of that, I would just want to say that, you know, The Greatest Story Never Told is a good place to start if you haven't seen it already. And again, I say this for the newcomer that might be, you know, who knows, scared away, right? So those in power and those in positions of leadership and elitism and everything else, the globalists have done everything that they can over the decades now to keep people away from anything that brushes up against something that is similar to this ideology. So, you know, some people have proposed that within National Socialism lies a kind of a seed to what would help to defeat these globalists that have been running the planet since 1945. And whenever someone shows up and challenges their hegemony, they have managed to control the image so well that these few that have opposed them have been transformed into devils themselves. And the history itself is bent and skewed into just an unimaginable image in order to make their version of reality manifest itself. So just know that, you know, that they have lied about absolutely everything, and they do that in order to win. So anyway, with that, gentlemen, long preface, I just wanted to, you know, say a couple of things about that for the sake of the newcomer. But tell us first, guys, about kind of the plan, I guess, for the platform, how that came together, why you guys wanted to, you know, develop. And of course, then later we can go into the points itself. But how did all of this come together, guys?
Of course, there is always danger with being this detailed as we have been in this platform, because some people think that the less we say, the more we can unite around, so that there will not be this spread of, like, if you don't agree with a little detail, then you could join the organization anyway if we haven't put that detail out, so to say. But that is on the negative side. But on the other hand, we feel that we needed to make our politics more clear. And we are willing to take that risk of scaring someone away because of a detailed question or something, because we have really good ideas, and we have solutions for all problems within National Socialism, and we wanted to show that, because our struggle in many ways always gets down to the immigration question that we are all that all we stand for is against immigration, mass immigration. But we have solutions for every part and aspect of life and politics, so we wanted to show our sympathizers, and now also the whole world, that National Socialism is a whole world view that has the solution to all problems, as I said.
Do you have anything to add to that, Per?
Yes, I completely agree with Simon. It's important that people know that we want to take care of the environment and so on, and we have this in this party program. We can read it here, so it's good that we get more detailed. And actually, before we done this program, it was only many articles to know our politics, and it's better to gather everything in this little book.
Yeah, very good. So I mean, there of course a lot of people within that would sympathize with a lot of the issues that you guys address as well, in terms of immigration, in terms of you know, the enemies that we face and everything else, but they might not see that National Socialism is an applicable ideology in our time. Did you guys take this into consideration in terms of that, you know, as the preface says right at the end, this is, you know, we're in the 21st century now, and maybe some of the things that were applicable to Germany specifically in the 1930s might not be similarly applicable to our time in other countries. Is there a debate about this among you guys, or is it more like that is a platform that will work anywhere at any time?
If I understand you right, this program, of course, is not a copy of what Adolf Hitler wanted for Germany, because National Socialism is a living ideology, always developing as our people develops, and we have tried to modernize it to fit in the 21st century, and also tried to modify it to fit for the Nordic region more specifically. But the core values are, of course, much the same as it was in the 30s in Germany.
All right, very good. Should we just dive into it, gentlemen? I mean, the first point, and of course, as I said, I wanted to squeeze all this in, of course, all the 9 points in the first segment, and make sure that we, you know, get through those, and then we can discuss some of the other, you know, issues in more detail later. But 9, of course, important number to our ancestors. Was that a mistake, or just it happened to come out that way?
It's not a mistake.
No, of course not. Simon, do you want to take it away?
All right. Point 1. Immediately stop the mass immigration. Repatriation of the majority of all who are not Northern European or of closely related descent is to begin as soon as possible. They are to be returned to their respective countries of origin or neighboring regions in the most humane way possible. Point two, by all available means and with a long-term perspective, work to regain power from the global Zionist elite who have economically and militarily occupied the greater part of our world. Point number three, together with the remaining Nordic countries, create a self-sufficient Nordic nation with a joint military, currency and central bank and universal laws and rules. This will necessitate an immediate withdrawal from the European Union and any other similar anti-Nordic coalitions. Point four, establish a powerful government with a strong oversight by the people. Positions of leadership will be awarded based on competence, and the first and foremost goal of the government will be to work for the good of the people and for their preservation. The rights to freedom of speech will be extensive and protected. Point five. Our mass media will be owned by citizens of the new Nordic nation, both foreign and domestic media acting in a manner hostile to the Nordic people will have the possibility of being banned. A domination of media by any individual or conglomeration must be corrected. Point six, create a modern society living in harmony with the laws of nature. Our animal protection laws will be developed with an emphasis on ethics and opposed to profits. Nature and all its resources will be utilized using common sense and with future generations in mind. Right of public access will be preserved and protected. 7. Establish a national socialist society where resources are distributed in such a way that benefits all people, both strong and weak, and where everybody has the opportunity to reach their fullest potential. A social welfare safety net should be put in place, entrusting people with both rights and obligations. The state will control all fundamental infrastructure of public interest, as controlling them would require a level of responsibility greater than what a private company can reliably deliver. A spirit of entrepreneurship and innovation will be encouraged. 8. Reinstate national compulsory military service and increase and expand all branches of the armed forces. All those who have completed their military service will retain their weapons and equipment. Every citizen should be able to contribute to the defense of the nation against both external and domestic threats. 9. Establish a constitutional state where all citizens are equal in the eyes of the law. Educated lawyers will judge in Nordic courts. A people's court will be created for trying serious cases of treason against the people.
Very good. Thank you, Simon, for that. Very interesting. You know, as you were reading these off, I was thinking, like, I wonder how much of this, of these points, was actually at one point, at one time in Sweden, implemented. Whether they were stated in law or not, much of this seems to have been things that we've actually had. Prior to, you know, multiculturalism and these egalitarian values and everything else that snuck into our country. But, you know, people might be familiar with the model that Sweden developed called the folk home, you know, and there was, of course, socialist.
Parts of them stole from Germany.
Exactly. That's just it. Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, it was Schlieren, right? And a couple of other people.
Yes.
Rudolf Schlieren, which was actually, I mean, they were admirers of National Socialism. This was actually, I mean, this was the fashion at the time, right? It was just post-World War II that this became highly unfashionable, shall we say. But how much of this would you... Yeah, exactly. How much of this, guys, would you say is like, is points that actually, that we had in Sweden already?
All of the points is in, so you could say it's common sense, all of the points, as far as I see it, at least. So... And of course, we had a lot more of common sense before the Second World War and before the cultural Marxists took control of our country totally. So yeah, you're probably right that much of this is what we had, but also some new things that we think would make our nation work out even better.
And you can of course say that Swedish social democrat before the war should today be called a Nazi if he talked like he did then, if you know what I mean.
Right, exactly. They were socialist and they were more nationalist.
Yes,
you know,
so, definitely. So, definitely.
Yeah,
and they talked about race and have had research in race biology and so on. So that's nothing new or especially hateful, if you see it that way. That the biggest party in Sweden also was for those points in the past.
Yes, and actually, as soon as in the 60s, there was debate in our parliament where social democrats said that this mass immigration is not good. It will only gain this company owners that want cheap labor and so on. So
interesting. Yeah. They were into racial hygiene, as they call it. They were into the improvement of the Swedish stock, as opposed to the kind of the advocation for the worst to reproduce more and the best to not reproduce at all. I mean, this is common sense. I mean, we actually talked about this the other day, and it was like, you know, there was a new movie was coming out, and it was about, you know, some kind of depopulation agenda. It was allusion to eugenics and Nazism and all these kinds of things. And it was like, they portrayed in there that it was all about like hauling people off and almost torturing them for pleasure or something. That's what it was about. And it's so ridiculous because it's like, all it's about is to, you know, make sure that those that are the utmost best, that they reproduce the most. And then you try to discourage those who are less fit, genetically speaking, to procreate. Because eventually, if you don't deal with a problem like that, your society is going to be swamped in problems. However we moralize, nature is structured in such a way that, yeah, you know, if you have basically, we're going to be overloaded with problems that we're not going to be able to deal with. And I've always said the pain and the suffering that comes at the end of that, right? So I'm thinking, think long term now. If you think short term, you know, with our current morals and stuff, oh my God, we have to feel good all the time. Let's do whatever we need to do to feel good and say, you know, because we feel it's the right thing to do. But at the end of that, I think if we don't deal with an issue like this, we're going to have so much pain and suffering and misery that those people will probably curse us for not dealing with the problem sooner. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
But important to state out there as well is, of course, that we would, it's very important for us to take care of also, if you say, the weaker parts of our people. But just because we take good care of them, we also should encourage a politic where we aim for those goals that you're talking about, with the best reproducing more and so on.
Yeah, exactly. So that was my point. You know, they were into thinking about improvement at some point. It was fashionable. Eugenics was a kind of a new science. It was based on things that they knew at the time. Also, let's put this in perspective of actually, human biodiversity or genetic diversity, what have you. It seems that in this day and age, despite all the talk of diversity, they are actually involved in the eradication of it. I don't think it's going as well as they plan. I'm talking about the elite now, the globalists and everything else. But it seems to me that they want to try to eradicate differences. They want to actually try to, I mean, look at the Nordic countries again. Speaking in consideration to the rest of the world, we are minorities in the world. And yet our politicians, they talk about minorities coming to our countries and that, you know, we have to give way to them. And somehow, yeah, I mean, even our previous Prime Minister, Fredrik Reinfeldt, even said in one of his speeches that he thought it was so boring with just Swedes everywhere, right? He even said that we all look the same, and it's so boring. Well, it's like, first of all, we don't look the same. There's already, you know, pretty good genetic diversity within our stock. But this is the mentality that some of these elitists and Bilderbergers and Zionists have. They think that somehow, you know, we're going to be inbred or something if we don't allow tons of people from other parts of the world come to our countries, you know?
Yeah, they're traitors.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, but that with the inbred, it's a quite common argument against our cause.
It actually is, yeah.
It's totally insane because you only need... You need a much smaller amount of people to maintain.
Completely eliminate it, yes.
Yeah.
So, there's been studies done by in regards to birds, actually. They have a distance that they can travel, if you will, outside of their, or not outside of their territory. It's within, of course, the region of where they live. And this is true for even migratory birds, because when they've arrived to where they're at, you know, they're not going to go too far until they leave again in the next season. But anyway, they show that you can travel far enough out in a radius, if you will, find mates or partners there, and that's actually what preserves them. That's actually what keeps them genetically healthy and fit. I actually saw just the other day a new release of a book called Breeding Between the Lines. I forget the author's name, but he's Israeli. And he of course married another Jewess, but he's talking about how incredibly beneficial it is, you know, for us goys to breed outside of our racial lines, and how much healthier we're gonna get, you know, become if we do those things, you know. But it's like, it's not true that, you know, yes, there's such a thing as inbreeding, but you know, if you go to the opposite side of the world, and take them with you, or marry them, or have kids with them, your children are actually going to be more dissimilar to you genetically than, let's say, your neighbor's kid, which means it causes problems, but it even means that you can't, as a parent, actually donate organs and things like this to your own kids because you're too genetically dissimilar. There's all this science that exists that is just ignored for the propaganda purposes, you know?
Yeah, and the children don't fit anywhere. They don't fit in neither of the countries.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Kate, so let's talk about the first point here a little bit. I've been rambling far too much here. I want to hear you guys speak. Immediately stop mass immigration. Repatriation of the majority of those who are not Northern European or of closely related descent is to begin as soon as possible. So obviously that's I guess, one of the more radical points, actually, of them. It's the one that's most urgent, of course. What did you guys, you know, when you wrote these ideas out, What were some of the hurdles and problems that you saw with this, or maybe, I don't know, implementation of this, or even to get people to agree to something in the current form that Sweden exists today? Is an idea like this viable? Is it implementable in any way today?
It must be implementable, because if not, our people will cease to exist. So. We don't think like other politicians. We don't think so much about what we need to say to get people to like us. We think more of what do we actually have to do, and this is what needs to be done, because it will not be enough with just stopping immigration to Sweden, because we already have around 20-25% of people who are racially foreigners, and 20-25%, and they are
breeding much more.
Yeah, they are breeding much more. They're getting more kids than the Swedes, and so on. So that even if we stopped immigration today and never more let anyone in our borders, then it would be already be too late. Our people would die out, be breeded out. So, it's the only thing that is possible for us to make sure that our existence is secured.
Yeah, and it's really important that what you said, Simon, we wrote this political program Complete Honest. We want to be honest what we want to do, and this is what we want to do. Of course, we know these points in some way are radical, and in some way they may shock some people, especially modern people that haven't read anything about this. But we want to be honest, and that's the way we do it. We don't lie. We set an honor in not lying to the public and so on. We want to show it right away what we want to do, without any lies and or media. What do you call it?
Spin or try to coerce people into thinking you want something else, and then you lie and you don't fulfill your promises.
Most politicians today.
Exactly.
And we do get quite some criticism among other nationalists around the world that we are being too honest, that we should
not talk about Zionism and so on.
Package our ideas in a nicer looking bag,
but that's not what you guys are about. I mean, I see you guys as a kind of a the way that our nations is going all over Europe, at some point I see that this is just we're going to reach a point where it's just going to be chaos. I mean, utter chaos. Infrastructure, transportation, probably shutting down. Who knows, maybe even more terrorism, civil war type conditions. I've always seen
monetary
you guys...
systems and so on.
Exactly. Collapse, crashes, all these things, right? And so I've always seen you guys as kind of like a group that has like kind of connected all these dots and understood that like when the shit truly hits the fan... then you guys are going to be there and actually have an idea of how to solve some of these issues.
And Henrik Palmgren be a member.
Yes, of course.
But absolutely, you're right. And we, I know that our honesty will benefit us in the end, because people will always look at us like the guys, not the average politicians, but more like good men and women that told the truth from the beginning and never backed down on our beliefs.
Yeah. So the continuation of the first point, and of course, there's much more text here, gentlemen and women listening. We're going to link up the PDF, obviously, so you can read through the subheadings of each of the points. But the continuation of the point is they are to be returned to their respective countries of origin or neighboring regions in the most humane way possible. In other words, the image that people have of this, I mean, you know, I'm just playing devil's advocate and just kind of trying to get this out there. They would see armed guards hauling people off and putting them in camps or something like that.
Worst case, gas chambers and so on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what they see. Let's be honest about that. But that's not what you're talking about.
No, definitely not. It's exactly what we're writing here. We're going to do it in the most human way. But of course, it will be maybe unpleasant for some of them because they maybe have other plans. But we must correct the mistake other traitors have done.
So what about the in-betweens? And I know this is just, I hate to hit the gray areas, you know, kind of right away. Let's talk about that for a little bit, because it's like, a gray area doesn't invalidate what's in black and white, so to speak. So I'm not trying to take it from that angle, but I know other people will. So let's just hash that out. So, already we have many countries are already multicultural, whether we want it or not, right? And I guess at this point it would be up to any country, any population that will politically say and openly state politically and show the willpower that, nope, sorry, this country, you know, screw the other countries, we can't control them, this is our country, this is what we're going to do. We don't want this multicultural model anymore. We want to make sure that our population remain who they are. We think our people, deserves, or have a right, even from a human rights perspective, to self-determination. They have a right to their own culture, to their own existence, and to be preserved, right? So that country that makes that step politically would be able to start curbing and solving some of these issues. But if we don't show any political willpower or desire to do anything like this, it's never going to happen. And we are, just as you guys say, we're just going to get flooded and we're going to eventually perish, genetically speaking, into oblivion, right?
We are doomed.
So it's about making that choice and trying to remedy the situation. So what would happen with people who are half Swedish, let's say?
Yeah, of course there will be this, what do you say, gray areas where we don't know where to put the person. Maybe there's really war in his country and he's half Swedish and so on. And in these cases where there are really hard to put him, put a person in a, his own country, we will of course be, we will, what do you say, rather be nice than be cruel.
Right. I mean, this is how I see it. I think that, you know, it's been, for many decades, it's been actually very mean to multiracial children in a way, because as you said, Simon, they don't really fit in here, they don't really fit in there, and kind of the only culture that they really fit into is this new globalist culture that's being created. That's where they feel at home. They don't feel rootless because most people don't even have any roots anymore, and I think that that's absolutely horrible. But let's face it, the more of this that we have, and the more that they can change the perception of people, let's be honest, the more we are losing. We who are actually concerned about diversity and cultural difference and all these kinds of things, we are on the losing side of this battle right now.
Yes, definitely.
And there also are science been done that those mixed breed children, they do... Often they do not feel well at all. They are much larger numbers with psychic illness, and suicide numbers is bigger among those, and so on. So it is in many ways really bad to do that to your kids, to give them this rootlessness.
An important thing to say here, it's also that it's not their fault that they are mixed race.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have some friends that have mixed children, and I know that there's, you know, genuinely people that they travel, they fall in love, and, it, you know, all these things happen, and fine, that's okay. I'm not here to dictate to what they're supposed to, you know, do, whatever. But today, of course, we have a different spin on things. We have a propaganda and encouragement of this. As I said, there's this, the books being released, how it's better, and it's being, you know, promoted on TV and in the media. And it's like this, I mean, let's face it, people, there is a plan and a desired outcome here to make sure that difference is dissolved and that difference disappears. And with, as I said, repeat the point, with all their talk of diversity, these are just, this is lies then. This is just garbage, you know?
Yes, and if the people in mass know the, what do you say, what can happen if you mix race, the negative things, they wouldn't do it, I think. So if they are rightly informed, they won't be a problem.
So I guess those are points to be considered, sorted. Do you guys see that, you know, Sweden as it currently exists, with every border being where it is something that, I mean, obviously, this is what you want, but I'm saying, is there, I'm just speculating here, of course, but is there any leeway for, like, okay, well, we could actually consider to take a different or another smaller territory, but to, within that, those borders and nations decide and, for ourselves, and, you know, not start a new nation. This sounds wrong, but I'm saying, Is there any compromise here at this point politically, or is it just this way or the highway, guys?
First of all, we do aim for taking the Nordic countries and make them as one nation. So it's not so much about Sweden; it's more about the Nordic countries. But in the long run, if we have to back down, I can say this, that our racial survival and our people's right to exist is more important than any landmass in the world. That much I can say.
Yeah.
Yeah, we not aim for a smaller area. We aim for a bigger area.
Of
Sweden.
Course. Yeah. No, exactly.
But
yes.
But of course the geographic borders are not the interesting things for us. It's
we of course do not want to give away our forefathers' lands, but if you're up to you know the trigger point or what you say in English, but then our people's survival, that is the most important thing, more important than any land.
I usually go back to Spain, for example, of what happened there. 700 year period, they struggled with getting the Muslims hordes out of their countries. And of course, it was permanently changed after that point, no doubt about it. At the same time, of course, after 1492, there was also an interesting vigor within the Spanish Empire at that point, and that's, of course, what catapulted them onto the scene internationally speaking, and they conquered an immense amount of territory after that point. But my point is they retreated back to the northern regions of Spain, kind of for strategic purposes, and they couldn't do anything else. And frankly, I could see something similar happening in Sweden. Don't you guys? Not that I want it, but I'm just talking strategy here, you know?
If I see that as a worst case scenario.
Right.
The worst case scenario is not that our race dies out, because that will not happen. Worst case scenario is the one you are drawing. But we will try to conquer the whole north, because we believe that in the long run, we need that territory and all its resources to maintain self-sufficient and so on in the future global world.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's point three, of course. Together with the remaining Nordic countries, create a self-sufficient Nordic nation with a joint military currency and central bank and universal laws and rules. How do you guys see that? I think there was a study made a while ago. There is actually a joining the Nordic nations movement. Obviously, that's not what you guys are talking about, but statistically, they've said like it would be one of the most powerful economies, I believe, in Europe. It would be the largest land mass, etc. There's actually a lot of benefits to this, and something that we might actually need to do to be able to deal with the problem that we're now facing, multicultural-wise and everything, immigration.
Yes, and even to protect our borders, military. Of course, we must be a bigger unit.
Yes, yes, to become self-sufficient, because we must face the fact and we must be realistic. If we conquer a part, if we do like you said, Henrik, like we for example, we say we just take Dalarna.
Good example.
That's a part of Sweden.
Nice example.
And we say this is our national socialistic nation in Dalarna. Then we would be very, very vulnerable. What do you say?
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable. Yes. To other forces around the world, because the rest of the world, the Zionists of the world, they would not just let us be and say, all right, they have their national socialist nation, let them have that, because they of course want to control the world, and they want to control the money everywhere and the people and so on. So they would not allow us to have this little nation of ours in Dalarna, and to stand a realistic chance against these big world powers, we think that the Nordic nation is a realistic region for us to, with resources to get self-sufficient if that's what's needed. It's not like we do not want to trade with other nations and so on, but we have to consider that possibility that maybe there will be these bans against us and corporations that no one would like to trade with us and so on. But we think if we have a Nordic nation, we will manage our own, and we will stand a chance against the globalist powers of the world.
Yeah, and of course we will trade, but we do not want Rothschild and company get some of our trade, some percent of every trade, as they do now.
Dolan, that would be Syria all over again, huh? Right.
Yes, of course, and it's not this. Before we can put this in. Build such a society, we need support from all over the world. And we see quite good now in, Trump election, he talk about the globalists and so on, and half of USA is on our side, more or less. So that's good. And I think the world will realize that we have been fooled by the elite.
That's point number two. Of course, we jumped over that, but let's briefly talk about that. By all available means and with a long-term perspective, work to regain power from the global Zionist elites who have economically and militarily occupied the greater part of our world, right? So the few times in... this new world order has, of course, been... in existence a shorter period of time, historically speaking, than it has not been in power. So it is still an anomaly, historically speaking. However, the last, sounds like the Napoleonic era, maybe some people even pull it back to like the French Revolution, the kind of the engine of all this started there. At this point, it has an incredible, power hold, basically. Incredible amounts of money, incredible amounts of influence, and it dictates the cultural narrative of the world. It controls the media and everything else. That's not a small task to take on. And as you guys say, it's not something that one country does on its own. And the few times that has happened, the rest of the world has pretty much descended on that nation and destroyed it. And that's still the possibility. I mean, that strategy clearly doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's also what I talked about with the Nordic nation, because, of course, the best scenario is, like I said, that many nations would wake up simultaneously. And that is, of course, what we hope for, and that is the most realistic thing, that how we could take back the power from the Zionist elite. But if that do not happen, if we are the only one who wakes up, and if we are the only nation who secures the power nationalistic, then we will have a much better chance of succeeding with the Nordic nation than we will have with a smaller landmass.
Yeah. So basically, it becomes, at this point, if we look at point two, as far as I see it anyway, it becomes a metapolitical battle to a certain extent. It's a culture war, cultural battle. It's to change the hearts and the minds of people. I'm not saying that you always need a majority on your side. Obviously, within the current system, you more or less do. If corruption to the side, of course, and manipulation and election fraud and these kinds of things. But the goal is somewhat different there. If we look at that point too, because it makes it, you can't just politically change things in one country and then turn around. It's a much larger kind of sentiment that has to transform in people's minds to have them kind of basically see what it is that you guys are talking about. And they need to be, to a certain extent, convinced. They need to be shown the truth and the reality of the elite that we are facing, correct?
Yeah, definitely. And the people in Sweden overall hasn't understood this yet. But I will say, it's maybe not so good, but my Facebook flow, only in 1 year, it has been changed. Because many, of course, complain about the mass immigration and so on, but now more and more people start to point out who's behind this and start talking about the Kalergi plan and this is planned and orchestrated and so on. And we try to say this all the time, but I think it starts to sink in many more people now than before. And that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's this is a very interesting question, you know, in terms of what should be done to awaken people and have them open their mind and accept new ideas and theories. I guess to a certain extent, the direction of the world itself and the manipulation by these powers is also what is kind of turning people away from that worldview, right? At the same time, it's almost like that they have hubris. They're going too fast. They're doing too much too fast. And that is you know, as we say, red-pilling people. It's making them question what the hell is going on here and why, you know, the reality that they experience out in the world does not correlate with the reality that they read or see in the media. And with the access of information and the flow and the way that everyone can publish right now, more, I think, has changed in this regard, as you say, just only in the last 2-3 years than it has in the previous decades. Would you guys agree?
Yeah,
definitely. And the powers of the mass media, they are losing power and the ground every day. Every day they're losing their power because for decades they have had this, you know, dictatorship. They could write anything they want and people believes it. But that has really started to change the last few years. And of course it is both the things you talked about that they can see with their own eyes. This do not cope with what I read. And also, it's of course because alternative medias like Red Eyes and so on, like Nordfront and so on, are growing bigger and reaches out to more people. So they now have two views on everything. They can read in the old papers and they can look what Nordfront or Red Eyes talks about. And they see that there is a big difference between those two and what they say. And yeah, they're losing their grasp, and that's also a big evidence, as Per talked about earlier, with Trump's victory, because mass media, they have been hysterical, not only in USA, but also in Sweden, about Trump, and told everyone that he's a really, really, really terrible person, almost like Adolf Hitler rose up again, and yeah, and so on. But yeah. Anyway, the white people voted for Trump because they see through the media lies, and that's fantastic. And it has happened only in a few years, as you said.
Yeah, people have started to read between the lines, and in Sweden, actually, this alternative media is, I think, in percent, the biggest in the world. Or something.
Right, that's very interesting. And our scenario is kind of maybe not unique. I mean, it happens in other countries, but we've had we haven't had a separation of state and news like some countries have. Very strong government subsidized media and a partnership there, which has been very beneficial to push us into the chaos nation that we are today.
Yes.
Unfortunately, but as you say, that's changing, and I think also a country like Sweden, you would see a consensus. When you see that consensus shift, you would see things change probably even more rapidly than they would in another country. It's about tipping the scales. That's how I see it anyway. And once you get people to kind of look at the other side, it's not that it's a done deal, but I think you could make tremendous advancements in a short period of time. Both politically speaking, but also in terms of how you change people's perception. So I'm encouraged, despite that things are of course getting worse and worse all the time in Sweden. I'm encouraged by that because, as I said, the harder they push, the more people are going to begin to notice what it is that's happening and what it is that they're doing.
Yes,
only some years ago, let's say 2-3 years. You could get bad press, you know, the old statement, all publicity is good publicity. I did not agree with that a couple of years ago or so, because I did believe back then that some of the things that mass media wrote about us could actually harm us. But now I don't believe that anymore, because whatever they write, it will only gain us, because people have started to read between the lines. And people do not believe their lies about us anymore. So no, as you say, it's really interesting development. And as you also say, as this progress even more, we will gain from it quite fast, probably.
Yeah, and actually the journalists lying more and more, or as you said, they have hubris now. They think they can do whatever they want, and it will be their fall, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So we've talked about point 1 to 3. I want to obviously continue from 4 to 9 here after the break and talk more about those in detail. One point I want to squeeze in here before we take a short break, gentlemen. National Action in the UK was recently dubbed, I believe, a terrorist organization. They had to disband and dismember and everything else. I've never seen from there. I haven't followed everything they've been doing, but from what I've seen, they've never advocated for violence. They might have had some intimidating looks, I guess, to a certain extent. But you know, in some of their rallies or organizations and you know, things that they pull together. But that shows also maybe the potential environment of what is to come in this new counter-reaction Europe, right? We have a, you know, as organizations begin to push back, political parties, media, you know, these the fake news claims and all this kind of stuff, they're pushing back in so many different ways that they'll probably double down and try even harder. I think that that's also a big mistake from the globalist point of view, that they want, it's not, they're not going to get away with that. But nonetheless, is there any chance of something like that happening in Sweden with your organization, that it would simply be, you know, branded as some kind of hate group or something, or terrorism, right? And then there's it's in a different position. You guys are in a different position legally speaking. Are you worried about that?
Of course, that is a possibility we have to account for, and. We, of course, will, the resistance will go on how much they, whatever they do, and even if they ban us or not. But maybe some things needs to be done in other manners than now, so to say. But we of course, think about that possibility. And I won't say that it worries me, because we will overcome that for sure. But it is a possibility that we have planned for, of course.
And it's not so far away either. They talk about this in Finland already. Some high politicians there want to ban the organization in Finland.
Yeah.
So we may face that reality quite soon, but of course we will not give up.
No, I mean, they will push it. They will push it underground.
Yes.
I mean, it's they can't. They can't. I mean, historically, look at, you know, groups that they have, you know, suppressed in that manner. Not always have they risen up and been successful, but in many cases, it has actually emboldened them. It actually showed to the rest of the world, oh, okay, these liars in power are obviously afraid of this, and they want to try to stop it, and that almost lends credibility to the group.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen, let's give out some details. So obviously, as I said, I'm going to give the link to people in the description text. You can Google Our Path and Nordic Resistance Movement. You'll get it too, of course, the PDF. What else should we cover here just in the first segment, guys, in terms of new politics for a new time? Say something to us about if you guys have a tie, you know, a goal, it's a timetable set of what you want to have achieved maybe in the next year, 2017. The organization is growing a lot. I reckon you guys had a really successful rally in Stockholm earlier, you know, in the previous month. And tons of people there, normal, regular people, they're just, you know, families and children, women, everything, who are concerned with what's coming. So what's your goals here in the next year, guys?
We are very, very careful with stating out goals. But of course, as you said, we have seen a tremendous growth in the last couple of years. And we of course, will continue to grow. And we will be even better in every possible way. But more specific than that, I do not want to be right now.
I want to add this. I hope that many of the listeners read our program and get us feedback to write to us what they think and so on. It would be interesting because this is not a static document either. We can change some things if we got good advice. So I really hope for feedback from all over the world. And I hope this, as you read in the foreword, will inspire other people to maybe take some of our points and implement in their organizations.
Yes, definitely.
Very good. So the website is Nordfront. I'm just going to kind of read that in the English way. Nordfront, Nordfront.se. There is an English flag in the top right you can click on. And obviously from there you can read more information about the English-speaking sections of the website, obviously. Anything else, guys, you'd like to mention or plug, or if there's any way that people can get involved? I guess the best way is for people to reach you guys through the website if they want to ask you something or join or something like that, right?
Yes, absolutely. And also in our path, we have a page right after the foreword that you read, how people can support us in different ways. So, and it's also, if you press the English flag on nordfront.se. So,
and one goal we can reveal is that we will be better in communicate in the English language about what we do and maybe some news and so on. So we will have better information in English in the future.
Yeah, that you could say. You could say that this launch of our path in English is just a first step towards the English-speaking crowd. So you'll to be continued.
We welcome an American branch of the Nordic Resistance Movement.
All right, very good. Interesting to know. All right, ladies and gentlemen, stay with us here. We're going to continue with Per and Simon in the second segment. Much more to discuss. Go through the rest of the points. And just talk generally a bit more about what it is that's happening right now. So do stay tuned. We will be right back. RedIceMembers.com. Go there, get a membership. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Thanks so much.
Thunder!